Welcome to Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. I'm Richard Dugan, your host. Thanks so much for joining us here on the program. We come your way Sundays at 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. Monday mornings at 1 a.m. We stream live at richarddugan.com and newspress.com, and we archive our programs at richarddugan.com, the radio show's page. We also link to our guests, as we will with our guest today, Dr. Eric Pearl, making a return visit to our program. And Eric, thank you so much for joining us today.
Hey, it's my pleasure. Thank you for inviting me.
Now, we'll go ahead and get the preliminaries out of the way. Let's talk a little bit about what you have coming up in Los Angeles in September. I believe the date is September the 11th. I think that's correct.
Well, it is. It is the infamous September 11th.
Yeah.
And on that Friday night, we'll be giving a three-hour presentation on reconnective healing. Well, we'll talk about, of course, the history, the theory, the philosophy. We'll discuss the science, and we will bring up people from the audience and give live demonstrations of the healings so that you'll be able to witness them or maybe even experience them yourself. As we continue on, we're going to let you feel this expanded spectrum of healing frequencies, not just energy, as we've been able to access here through our energy healing techniques, but new aspects of light and information that the researchers feel is here for the very first time. We'll let you feel it. We'll teach you how to play it, how to work with it. And then we'll continue on to that Saturday and Sunday with the level one of our training program. Our training programs are very different now. We're moving into this new year of a brand new training program, which is greatly expanded, where level one will spend 2 days instead of 1 day, but we're able to teach more, experience more, have more question and answer. We'll demonstrate levels of the work from the stage, and then we'll go to massage tables where you'll partner up with different people. We'll take your hands while you're standing at the head of the massage table, show you how to feel and find this more expansive healing spectrum of frequencies. As you do that, you will witness the person who's lying on your massage table go into involuntary movements of their muscles, their fingers, their feet, their facial muscles, their arms, their legs. We'll show you how to expand that. Then you'll trade places with them so you can experience it. As that continues, then we'll trade places with them, of course, as you're working with it. And when we finish, we'll go back to our seats, talk about the different things we've learned and experienced, and demonstrate new levels of the work and continue. And that entire Saturday and Sunday, so Friday night the 11th and Saturday and Sunday the 12th and the 13th, will be focused on self-healing and basically learning levels of healing that you can do to contribute to the evolved health of your immediate circle of friends and family. But if you want to learn this at a professional level, which doesn't mean you have to become a reconnective healing professional practitioner, but you'll have the ability to, then you will choose to continue on to that Monday and Tuesday, the 14th and 15th of September, where you will start working on your own professional sessions. We'll be bringing people in from outside of the seminar who don't even know exactly what to expect as you begin your learning process. We will take you into how to learn distance healing, how to work holographically. We'll give you the basics of how to start, set up, build, and develop your own reconnective healing practice. We'll teach you levels of subtlety and nuance where you find that you are creating chakras from an infinite field, chakras as powerful, if not more, than the ones we've known of to date. And by the end of the 15th of September, I can pretty much promise you two things, which are A, you will be able to do anything and everything in the way of healing that I can do, and B, you will be able to do anything and everything in this world of healing, this realm beyond energy, that any human being anywhere on this planet can do.
Well, it seems to me like you're a busy guy as it is, and for more people to learn this technique, learn this healing and get this training, is going to benefit even more people than you really would be able to get to. So I think it's an extremely important opportunity for people. And again, this is September the 11th, that particular week through the 15th in Los Angeles. And we'll give you more of the particulars as we continue here on the program. Now, you say that you've made some adjustments, some changes, some modifications. It sounds to me like the reconnection has sort of evolved. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Well, I won't say that reconnective healing has evolved. What's evolved is the level of teaching. I had up until now been keeping it condensed into a Friday night, Saturday, and Sunday because really, just for the wrong reasons, I just thought, you know, who would really want to invest a Monday and Tuesday being a work day into learning this at a professional level? But as I watched what was going on, I found more and more people were clamoring to understand more, to get this at a deeper level, which required more time for question and answer, more table time to experience this, a slower pace to allow it to assimilate and come in. And finally, we realized that truly the highest level of practitioner does want to devote their Monday and Tuesday to a professional level. So all in all, I think it was a great introduction to originally introduce the condensed education to the world, you know, over 3 days. But all in all, it's really a 4.5-day process to change, to transform, for us to learn how to embody a new level of enlightenment, of understanding that healing is more than just regaining the use of an arm or a leg or a liver or a kidney. Healing is really about our evolution individually and our evolution as humanity, which ultimately is our evolution as universal beings experiencing life multidimensionally, as somewhat out there as that might sound at first. If we realize that everything here is a manifestation of, choose the word you're happiest with, God, love, the intelligence of the universe. I mean, we exist in Earth is a macrocosm if we look at, you know, subatomic molecules and their interactions. And Earth is a microcosm if we look at the expansion of the universe. So it just makes sense that ripples, once you affect a change, the ripples go out to infinity.
Now, let's also talk a little bit about this energy and how it differs, if we can, from some of the other, and I'm going to put it on, not put the reconnection under this, but the other modalities as the other energy work that people do that goes by many other names. Too numerous to mention here, but you know what I'm talking about. How is this different? What is the significance that separates this from other modalities, if you will?
Well, what separates it? What makes it different is that it's not really different at all. It's just more.
Okay.
It's an expansion of it. So in other words, the approaches that we've had to energy healing have been viewed through technique, the modality approach of technique, meaning you do this step, then that step, then the other step. You do this procedure, then that procedure. You bring in this symbol, you bring in that symbol, you use this healing object or toy or that healing object or toy. You protect yourself in a white flame, a gold flame, a purple flame. You shake off negative energy. You spray yourself down with alcohol. You pull up imaginary zippers. Reconnective healing is not a technique. That is, first and foremost, the initial differentiation. It is not a technique. And what that means is that we're able to access and embody more. For example, as the researchers explain this, we exist in a four-dimensional, aspect of the multidimensional universe. Now, what does that mean? Well, they said, look at it this way. Imagine a huge, vast, endless multidimensional universe. No beginning, no end, and then somewhere floating around in it is this giant bubble or balloon. So the material that comprises the outside of the bubble or balloon is height, width, depth, and time, our four-dimensional existence, height, width, depth, and time. And everything inside of our balloon here has been energy. So when we exist, and you can look at this sort of as form and formless as one way of looking at it. When we exist through technique, we access a form or a portion or a particle, a subset of all of the energy that's here in our existence. For example, Reiki is a different technique. It's accessed differently than Qigong or Jinshin or Jorei. They feel different. The experience is different. There are different subsets or different particles of the entire embodiment of the energy that's here. But reconnective healing by having no technique doesn't focus in on subsets of the energy. It instead, by having no technique, it's a formless embodiment of the entirety of the energy that's been within our existence of height, width, depth, and time. That's the first part of how a technique-free existence allows us to become more. Now, the energy that's here is a consciousness, so we embody an enlightened consciousness far beyond the limitations of our techniques. When we access reconnective healing, and we gain a second reward for that, a second gift, and it's a gift that is available to us today that has not been available to us before. And the reason for that, as the researchers and the quantum physicists explain, is that today time is expanding. Time is moving faster in all directions, so time is expanding, which means our bubble or balloon of time in which we exist is expanding. So visualize a balloon. Imagine yourself blowing it up a little more, a little more, a little more, a little more. As you continue to blow up that balloon, as it continues to expand, it becomes more thin, more sheer, more permeable. What's been inside of our balloon of time begins to be able to interact with and communicate what has been outside of our balloon of time. What has existed through the universe forever but is not old, it's timeless, and is here within our bubble or balloon of time for the first time. So for us, it's here for the first time. It's new for us. The balloon becomes more thin, more sheer, more permeable, and ultimately our balloon or bubble of time begins to disappear. And as we still interact in this transition from recognizing that time is an illusion before we actually get there, well, let's just say the researchers explain that time is ultimately an illusion, and we are here to discover that we are ultimately timeless beings. So to condense this, what science says is four points. A, time is moving faster. B, time is expanding. C, time is disappearing. D, time is an illusion. And the second and third reasons that so much science is studying reconnective healing, besides the fact that there is no technique, is as a result of that, the healings tend to be fairly instantaneous, and they tend to be lifelong. But let's change the word tend to be fairly instantaneous to appear to be fairly instantaneous. Why do they appear? How can something appear to be instantaneous and not be instantaneous? because the healings happen outside of time. They don't even require an instant of time. And because they occur in this new expanded state of timelessness, they are also not affected by time, so they don't weaken or dissipate over time. So A, reconnective healing is a way for us to remove the training wheels of technique that we've been learning healing through, to access something that includes the gifts and benefits of all of our techniques, but has no technique to it, no complicated techniques to learn, no fear-based rituals, and the results are healings that tend to be fairly instantaneous and tend to last for a person's lifetime. I think all in all, that's pretty cool.
And I have to say, your conversation there, your information about time is quite interesting, because we're all starting to observe how it seems, again, the perception from the human mind is that it seems to be moving faster and faster. I mean, it was just 2010, so to speak, or I was just 17,
right.
And now all of a sudden I'm 55, it's 2015, we're halfway through this year, and for all I know, it's going to be 2020 in a blink of an eye. And yet, at the same time, no pun intended, it is a construct of man's mind, time is. Whereas if you were out, say, in outer space, you have no points of reference as to time, unless you had a timepiece with you, you would have no points of reference as to time passing. You just would be there in that given moment.
Well, we view time as an absolute because we exist in this limited space in the universe. So, for example, we think that if you're in a skyscraper, the time on the ground level is the same as the time on the top floor, because our watches read the same. But our watches read the same because they are not that finely tuned. What happens is that time tends to slow down the further away you move from Earth, the further away you move from the Earth's gravitational pull. So to make this more clear, I mean, we understand that time moves more slowly when you're on a plane than when you're on the Earth. More slowly, much more, when you leave the Earth's atmosphere. So the classic example in quantum physics is that if you give birth to twins and immediately place one twin on a spaceship and send it outside of the Earth's atmosphere for 40 years, and then it returns, when the 40-year-old twin here on Earth walks over to greet it, the twin that walks out is approximately 6 years old.
Yeah. I mean, I have
so
seen...
Yeah.
Go ahead. No, go ahead.
I was going to say, so time is not a fixed point as we talk about. Time is not a fixed point. Everything is energy. Everything is resonance. Everything is it is vibration. Everything is frequency. The change of frequency or vibration or speed is as it passes a fixed point in space. And we, ultimately, individually, are that fixed point. We are that fixed point. And suddenly when we start to view that, we realize that what we viewed as absolutes are not absolutes. We view time as a requirement for healing to take place, for cellular regeneration, for this, that, and others, when ultimately time is an illusion. And that's a really difficult concept for a lot of us to understand, for a lot of us to maintain. Now, it becomes a little more, different things are pointing out more obviously how our perspective of time is a little bit off. For example, we used to think that the body healed through the biochemical model. We used to think that, you know, something would happen to a part of the body. The result would be that it would produce biochemicals. It would send biochemicals to another part of the body, and therefore the healing would take place. And that made logical sense. What didn't make logical sense, what couldn't be explained from the biochemical model, is why is it that something can happen at one part of your body and immediately affect another area of your body? Because for the biochemical to be produced, it takes time. For the biochemical to travel through the body to another part of the body takes what we view as time. But today we understand something different called the light model. We recognize that biochemicals are one small part. They are involved in how the body heals, but the biochemical model is considered dead. It's considered obsolete. The light model explains things the biochemical model couldn't explain, because light is in a wave, so it can be everywhere at once. Ultimately, it removes the concept of time, which starts to explain how certain things tend to happen. With reconnective healing, holes have disappeared in people's bodies within moments. People who have had surgically fixed range of motion, limitation of an arm or a leg for 10, 15 years or more, immediately regain their range of motion. Tissue changes without our perception of time. This is why so many scientists around the globe are studying this work. As a matter of fact, the University of Arizona just published a paper in a peer-reviewed scientific journal that demonstrates that just minutes of reconnective healing is more than twice as effective as physical therapy in restoring range of motion to limbs in the body.
Wow. You know, you've raised a multitude of different topics in my mind, and we're going to touch upon some of these in our next segment here. One of them has to do with yoga and reconnective yoga, the reconnective program and animals, as well as with kids. And then I want to talk a little bit about the regeneration of cells and how that all plays in. We'll talk about that more as we continue here on Tell Me Your Story. We're talking with Dr. Eric Pearl, who will be in Los Angeles September the 11th. You can go to thereconnection.com, get all the information about the events that are going on throughout the year. But the one in particular we're talking about is going on September the 11th through the 15th in Los Angeles, California. We'll give you more information as we continue here on Tell Me Your Story. It's the Peabody Award-nominated Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. I'm Richard Dugan, your host, and I thank you for joining us. Myself, as well as Dr. Eric Pearl of TheReconnection.com is the website, and the event coming up on September the 11th, or the week thereof, the 11th through the 15th down in Los Angeles. You can go to TheReconnection.com to get all of the particulars. Register, get your tickets for the full spectrum, or just the parts that resonate with you, the things that you want to participate in. You have some other things that are going on in regards to the reconnection, having to do, and to me, this is a no-brainer. I mean, it's like, yeah, of course, this will work with animals because they're made, in essence, of the same stuff that you and I as humans are. So there's no problem there. But let's talk about how that came about.
Well, first of all, before we do that, I need to say to you that, as you probably know, I've been following you and your program for years, and I just want to congratulate you on your nomination for the Peabody Award. I really do, because you deserve it, and
your
program deserves it. This is how you function as a healer. You share this consciousness and this awareness with your very sizable listening audience. You open them up to potentials, and those people who decide that they've heard what they want to step into and explore more evolve in their life, and that is healing. Healing is not, as I said, just, you know, getting better from something. Healing is our evolution as we evolve on our life course. It's something else. So whereby, for many people, being a healer is for them learning how to do healing and then setting up the healing practice and scheduling people who come in to do the work. And this is beautiful and exquisite. And I did that 10 hours a day, 6 days a week for quite a while. It was one of the greatest highs on the planet. And yet what you do helps people find their life purpose. So this is your form as a healer. And I just want to say congratulations for that nomination.
Well, thank you so much. I do appreciate that. Let's talk about
animals.
Yes.
Yeah, with animals, I absolutely agree. The way I phrase it is, animals are people in fursuits. Love is love. Life is life. So, yes, we do some programs, some teachings on reconnective animals, how to do reconnective healing work with animals. But I want to be clear. The healing work that we do with animals is not different than with people. What we learn is how to approach animals. Different animals are best approached in different ways because it allows them to be most receptive to the healing work. But their healing frequencies, you know, life is life, love is love, is the same.
Can we use energy as a term? Because there are the principles, if you will, or aspects of the universe as a whole. There's light and energy. And it's like, okay, well, which one is which? And are they both the same thing? And so on and so forth. But this sort of leads me into my my regeneration question, because it's always befuddled me that I can get a cut on the back of my hand, okay? And I can do whatever's necessary to go through the normal, I'll call it more orthodox healing process. And eventually, all things being equal, within a few weeks or a month or so, I won't even know that I cut my hand. So that means that the cells of the body regenerated to the level of restoring that the surface of my hand back to its original state.
Mm-hmm.
But I happen to have suffered a vision loss in my left eye due to glaucoma. And I'm sitting here thinking, well, wait a minute. That's not the normal state of that eye. So why isn't the eye and the cells that make that up, why aren't they regenerating back to what would be considered at the very least, the original state when I came into this world, which wasn't fantastic, but at least there was some vision there, or to a brand new seeing eye?
Why are you saying when you came into the world it wasn't fantastic? Was there already a limitation when
yes.
you were born?
Yes.
What was that, man?
It was I had nystagmus, stigmatism, and bilateral cataracts. And so I had maybe for the majority, a better part of my early years, I had 2400 vision in my left eye, meaning I can see at 20 feet what most people can see at 200. And through the process of, I don't know if it was contracted or if it was something that I was predisposed to, glaucoma, the optic nerve was eventually crushed due to the eye pressure, and poof. I never counted on that eye for vision. Predominantly, it was always my right eye. So it wasn't, I didn't feel like I had lost that much in terms of my mobility, and I didn't, because I'm driving now. But that has always perplexed me in terms of the body's ability to regenerate certain parts or facets of the physical human body and not others.
You mean, like, for instance, why is it that a very young child can lose the tip of a finger and it will regenerate for them where it will tend not to regenerate the same level for adults?
Yeah.
You know, and why is it that salamanders or someone else can lose part of the tail and grow it back and others might not?
Yeah, and to me that's fascinating.
It is. It's fascinating. It is intriguing. It is a question that opens other questions. Now, it's true. Part of it, obviously, you know, is a discussion of potential and limitations and what we buy into and what we don't buy into, and we do see on various levels. Listen, even the most straight-laced medical doctor will often, you know, say at minimum that the healing attitude of the patient can make a difference in what level of result that we get.
I've heard
now,
that.
There's a bigger question to this, though. And the question may or may not, depending on your perspective of it, be satisfying in certain ways. And I find it, in its largest perspective, I find that this perspective really is very calming and satisfying in a lot of ways because, you know, I mean, I was born through life after death. My mother died, giving birth to me, and came back to life and was given the secrets of the universe at many levels, most of which she was programmed to forget, but many which she retained, which I wrote about in the second chapter of the book, The Reconnection. But let's look at it this way. There's a beautiful movie that I talk about sometimes with Alan Burstyn and Sam Shepard called Resurrection. And in it, in that concept of the film, she also had lost her life, had a life after death or a near-death experience, and come back to life and discovered in that process the ability to facilitate healings. And there's a lot of wisdom in the dialogue, in the script to that film. And she had a very sage grandmother who was asked a question and answered it this way. You know, why do people get sick was the question. And she said, you know, some of us need our illness to give love, some to get love. And I'll add to that, many of us experience our health challenges for reasons other than immediately comes to mind. What immediately comes to mind for most people is, what is your lesson? I say there's a much larger picture. I say that there's an agreement. And if you talk to people who have had near-death experiences, you realize that we do go through multiple lifetimes in different forms to experience different lessons from experiencing life in many different forms, male, female, different personalities, different appearances, etc., different circumstances. I say some of us may take on our health challenge, many of us in agreement form, not only for our own lessons, but for the lessons of people close to us. Maybe one spouse takes on a health challenge to help the other spouse learn compassion. How many times, in another example, is it that you have a relationship with your parents, and quite often you're closer with one parent than the other, and the parent that you're closer with maybe is the first to die. And what happens in that situation? In many, it becomes a dynamic, a pivot point for your relationship with the other parent. Maybe nothing comes of it, and oftentimes you develop a close relationship to that parent, which may very well be part of the agreement. You know, one parent says, I will leave early, and you will, you know, the parent with the distant relationship, and you with the distant relationship will learn certain things from that distancing, and now it's time to learn certain things for bridging that distancing and becoming close again. There are many different reasons, And I believe that you are affecting many different lives in your different relationships with people, in your family, and in your circle of friends, from what you are going through, from what you are sharing with them, on top of which, how much of that may well have contributed to your choosing your profession right now. How many lives are you affecting through your profession right now? And how many of those lives would not have been affected had you not made that choice? And would you have made that choice if something else happened and your career you became a sharpshooter because of your vision. In other words, there are so many infinite potential reverberations to what we experience. That to say, well, how come one person's eye healed and one person's eye didn't heal? It becomes a question of questions instead of a question of answers. And my belief is that, you know, if you go back to people who've had that near-death experience, that life-after-death experience, they usually come back and explain that when you're there, you understand everything.
Mm-hmm.
You understand that there is a reason for everything and everything makes perfect sense, but we are not here to know the answers, or we'd have been born with them. We are here to search for the answers. It's not even the discovery of the answers that is necessarily wherein lies our growth, as much as our growth comes from the actual seeking of the answers.
It goes back to that phrase that you hear quite often, it's not the destination, but the journey. And it's the same thing in terms of asking questions. It's the searching. It's what you find along that path. That is fascinating, because even though in talking with people on this program and even off mic and having conversations such as what we're having here, I'm more intrigued most of the time, even though I am listening, I'm intrigued by the relationship, the connection and the communication I'm having with that person, not so much the answers to my questions, although, again, I'm listening and trying to glean everything that I can from this person. I mean, we did a series of programs last year on mythology. And as we began to move through each of the succeeding programs, I began to realize that this was a huge topic. I mean, this just wasn't something that we could cover in a couple of programs, because it's just so multifaceted, if you will. And so it's the same thing here in terms of healing. And I do a lot of defining of terms on this program. And so I want to ask you, in terms of the reconnection, and we'll also get into this aspect of reconnective yoga as well as for kids. I think it's a wonderful aspect, both of them. What other word or words would better define the reconnection rather than healing? Or is healing the best word for the modern person to take in? Because, again, as I mentioned earlier in the program, there are so many other modalities for healing, and it's like what I said to the folks at the Christian radio station when they wanted to lay hands on me and heal my vision. I said, I'm not here to be healed. I wasn't created to be healed. That wasn't my purpose in life. And you described very well what each of our purposes in life are, in that we're here to do what it is that we're doing. And so maybe you can you give us a better phrase?
I like that.
Okay.
I don't know yet.
Okay.
I don't know yet.
Very
I'm
good.
I'm going to find out as we talk.
Okay.
I'm going to find out as we talk. You know how we talked about that whole thing, and then you said, so in other words, it's not the end point, it's the journey.
Right.
I could have said it's not the end point, it's the journey. But if I did, everyone would have gone, yep, heard that, and it would have zipped in and zipped out.
Exactly.
But if we describe it in ways we haven't heard, then we find ourselves on that journey to discover, because we're driven to explore as we follow it along, which is the same thing that you're talking about right now. And so by saying that you're not here to be healed, you are here to be healed, I think we're all having our healing. It's our evolution. It's just that their concept of healing may or may not be what's appropriate in the way. To me, I believe, offer up the healing and let people receive the healing. Just don't intend the specific results of the healing. That's the distinction. The highest level of healing, to me, is to share a vibratory return to a state of balance, of oneness, of fullness, of wholeness, and then allow yourself to rise to the level of not determining what the endpoint of that healing is, how it should specifically demonstrate itself, but instead rise to a level where you're willing to simply witness the perfect orchestration of God, love, or the intelligence of the universe, choose the word you're happiest with, and see what they have in mind for you. So, you know, if someone wants to say, I would love to offer you a healing, you know, I know some people who go, well, I don't know if I want to work with that. I don't know what your energy is like. If you allow yourself to vibrate at the highest level of energy, you're not going to take on anything lower anyway.
Mm-hmm.
What we understand from a true healing, is that it is an entrainment up to what we would view from this earthly linear perspective as to a higher level of vibration. True healing never brings things down to a lower vibration. So when you talk to people in the healing realm who say that they're healers, and they often say, oh, yes, I'm a very sensitive healer. I have to be careful because when I work on someone, I might take on their negative energy or feel their pain. Or I can't walk through a shopping mall because I end up in bed for 3 days because I feel everyone's emotions. And then you're not really truly a healer. You're just trying to pretend that you are and manifest on the outside.
Mm-hmm.
The truth is, if you're truly a healer, you vibrate at a level of light. And light, does light take on darkness? It can't.
No, it can't.
Light shows that darkness is simply not existing in the first place. If it existed, we could sweep it up, put it out in a paper bag, and wait for the trash people to collect it. Darkness is merely an absence of light. And so if you're taking something on, it's only demonstrating where you are not rising to the highest level of light, that as a healer, it's time for us to learn to rise to that level. So this came about from what you and I were talking about, and now, oh, healing, that was what it was. You asked me, is healing really the best word? I don't know. Healing as a word is potentially problematic in the fact that it's limiting in the eyes of many people, because, again, it means to many people to get better from something. It means that something has to be bad. And people say, well, I don't need a healing. There's nothing wrong with me. But if we can view healing as our continued expansion and evolution as human beings and to recognize that each of us is here to further unfold and expand, then each of us need that. But sometimes a different word or a different term is important to use. Although healing is an accurate word, It's important to use other expansion concepts, such as today we're talking about the difference, the concept of enlightened embodiment or embodying enlightenment. This showed up, and I called it reconnective healing, and this was probably my limited perspective, my view of it at the time, because as I know that you already know, when reconnective healing first showed up, I was practicing as a chiropractor. I had a very large practice. I'd practiced for 12 years. My patients were coming in with physical complaints, and so that's how I was seeing them. And I went home one night thinking I was a doctor. I came back in on a Monday, and I was something else. My parents always told me I was something else, but this is not what they had in mind. All we know is on that Monday morning, as I held my hands near my patients, they started having physical movements and seeing colors they'd never seen and smelling flowers they'd never seen, and they started having real healing. Some of them were getting up out of wheelchairs. Others were regaining the use, as we said, of different parts of their bodies or different senses. Children with cerebral palsy or epilepsy, their parents were calling saying, what did you do? They can walk and play and run and speak normally. They're not having seizures. They're not having their medications. Doctors called and asked what I'd done. I said, I didn't do anything and don't tell anyone. The more I said that, the more everyone talked, and here we are today. You and I having this conversation.
Yeah.
So I saw what my limited scope of vision was able to recognize at the time. I saw what we classify as healings, physical healings, walking, running, playing, talking, no more seizures, no more epilepsy, no more this, that, and the other, no need for medications. So I called it healing. But really, it allowed me to understand that healing is a word that we use that we enter into an awareness with, but we actually step into a much broader horizon that does mean our continued unfoldment of consciousness. And since we ultimately are consciousness, as our consciousness unfolds, we unfold. So I'll give you this on a more grounded scientific level to a certain perspective. There are at least half a dozen, at least six studies done with reconnective healing and DNA, animal DNA, plant DNA, and human DNA. These studies show that the reconnective healing frequency, different than any energy healing techniques that we know of, actually restructures our DNA, or as I like to say, reconnects our DNA. We know that the DNA in each of our cells emits specific levels of light. We know from the work of Dr. Fritz Popp and others that when our health is diminishing, this light tends to be measurably dimming. When our health is coming back up, the light is coming back up. But unique to reconnective healing, the DNA starts to emit not only higher levels of light, but levels of light that the researchers explain are more coherent, more allow for a greater degree of conscious awareness, more harmonic. So what is us falling away from health is us being out of harmony, disharmony. Returning to more harmonic light brings us back to a higher level of health, but as the researchers show, higher levels of awareness, higher levels of consciousness. Mm. Now, second aspect of this is that our brains don't work the way we were taught. We used to think there were little compartmentalized areas of function in our brains. One was speech, one was learning, one was memory, one was this, one was that. We know today from the works of researchers such as, I can't think of them at the moment, but if I think of them, I will tell you. Carl Lashley and Carl Pribram and others, that this information is diffuse within our brains, not little compartmentalized areas, and it's not even within our brains. But we actually, our brains are just transducers receiving this information from a field of information that science today calls zero-point field, an actual documented field of limitless information. So think of your computer. Your computer is a piece of hardware. By itself, it doesn't do anything very much until you install a software program. Then you get information out of the computer that you already put in, and you get information from the computer that it accesses from that internet field out there somewhere. If we upgrade the software in the computer, more information from the computer itself and greater access to that internet field out there. So, Richard, what if our brains are our hardware? And our DNA is our software, then what science is showing through these multiple studies is that once we learn how to access and interact with the reconnective healing frequencies, the spectrum of healing that science today calls the reconnective healing spectrum, what we learn to do for ourselves and for others is to facilitate the equivalent of a human software upgrade, which allows us not only to access the information within our brains better, but to have greater access to the information from this multidimensional zero-point field. And since we go where our consciousness goes, where our attention goes, we become our awareness because we are our awareness, that we're not just accessing a greater field of multidimensional information. We are becoming more multidimensional beings, and this is our human evolution. And as we do it one at a time, we become this higher level of light for others with whom we interact and vibrate, and we raise the entire evolution of the species. And I know how strange this sounds, and this is not the education I had growing up, but I'm going to tell you, that's what I'm saying, and I'm standing behind it.
Well, let me tell you something. I'm going to stand right with you because it makes, believe it or not, for me and what I've been studying over the last 35, 40 years, makes perfect sense to me. It absolutely does, and that the definition of healing as we know it today throughout the world is sort of is more of a distraction from the true, again, reconnection to that higher vibration that we are striving for through all of the other modalities that we seek out. But that's what we're trying to do, to precipitate that evolutionary process that, believe it or not, I think that each one of us deep down inside absolutely, truly, wholeheartedly desires to have happen, because we want not more things out of life. We want more out of life. We want to thrive. We want to, if we could, and maybe we can, we want to fly. We want to experience the things that I mean, I'm watching some of these wonderful little science fiction drama television programs about bilocation, being in two places at one time. And some people say, well, that's not possible. Well, that's not necessarily true.
It is very possible. It is very true. And this drive that you talk about isn't just a conscious drive.
No.
What tells birds when it's time to fly south and time to fly north? Something inside, they have a compass and a system that says, now go here.
Yeah.
And this is what's happening with humanity. Now let's evolve into here and this. So what are we reconnecting with? We're reconnecting with our original fullness, what we tend to experience in between lifetimes when we return to that light that we all come from, that we all return to. What's been limiting us has been what's been helping us. Okay, what's been helping us has also been the limitation.
Yeah.
So, for example, when you want to start to learn to master the bicycle, you use training wheels. What the limitation has been is our energy healing techniques have been our training wheels, and we've been adding technique after technique after technique, training wheel after training wheel after training wheel. No one has told us that it's time to remove the training wheels because the true gifts of the training wheels come only when you remove them. And so we have to make a choice. You're either here to master the bicycle with training wheels, or you're here to master the bicycle itself.
Yeah.
Reconnective healing allows us to remove the training wheels of technique. And your question becomes, you're either here to master energy healing techniques, and if you're looking for another one, don't bother to come because I'm not here to teach you any. You're either here to master energy healing techniques, or you're here to master healing itself. If you're here to master healing itself, then it's time to let go of the training wheels and step into reconnective healing. There is no technique. You discover immediately that you are more, not only more than your physical body, you're more than your technique. You're more than technique itself, and today is the day to learn that with an ease. If you're in Los Angeles, September 11th through the 15th, by the time you complete the full training program, as I said, A, you will be able to do anything and everything in the field of energy healing and beyond that I can do, and anything and everything in that field that any human being anywhere on this planet can do, no matter how many techniques they've mastered, they've created, whether they were raised by monks in a cave in mountaintop in Tibet, born into a healing family. It doesn't matter the story, because today it is about demystifying the healing process. Reconnective healing's gift is that it allows us to completely transcend our techniques, bring about healings that are fairly instantaneous and tend to be lifelong, and our only challenge is whether or not we're willing to transcend the techniques.
Mm-hmm.
Today, reconnective healing allows us to completely demystify the healing process, allow it to become clear and transparent for everyone. Our only challenge is whether or not we are willing to allow the healing process to be demystified. And if we're not willing to transcend our techniques, we need to ask ourselves why. If we're not willing to allow the healing process to be demystified, clear and transparent for everyone, we need to ask ourselves why. And if we are not willing to ask ourselves why, that we need to ask ourselves why we're not willing to ask ourselves why, because it is the willingness to honestly explore that question and the answer within us that is our key to our continued mastery.
Well, I wish we had more time, and we started talking about time at the beginning of the program, and it has brought us to this point in time where I must thank you so much for this hour that we've spent together, and I encourage people to go to thereconnection.com to check out the information and register for the September 11th through the 15th event that's going on down in Los Angeles. Get all of the particulars, all the information, and Dr. Eric Pearl, I look forward to seeing you again soon in person, and if you find yourself straying from Los Angeles and you find yourself up here in Santa Barbara, we'd love to have you in studio to continue this conversation.
I would love that, Richard. Love that.
Wonderful. Again, Dr. Eric Pearl, and we've been talking about the reconnection and the event going on September the 11th through the 15th down in Los Angeles. Go to thereconnection.com. I'm Richard Dugan. This has been Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World, giving you choices and knowledge of those choices to help make your dreams come true. Until next time, love to all.